I'm Bruce Worsen, pastor of His Place Community Church. The following message came from a Sunday morning right here at His Place.
I come today with a message to encourage you as we approach 2019, because we're living in a time when there's tremendous opposition to Christianity. A time when we're up against a force. It's not that easy anymore. We have to stand strong. So I titled this message, Divine Determination. It's in Joshua chapter 1. We'll be there in a little bit. Hey, I'm just an ordinary guy. I'm just an ordinary person. And I've stubborn in the scriptures so oftentimes, God delights in taking ordinary people and doing extraordinary things in and through them. And I think most of us in this room this morning would not classify ourselves as having incredible giftedness. But I think in each and every one of us that bowed our knee to the Lordship of Christ, there's a God-given sense within us that I want my life to make a difference. I want it to have impact. And when you come to Joshua chapter 1, you find a man whose life certainly had impact, certainly made a difference. And when you come to that first chapter, Joshua is no longer a young man. He's 80 years old. He's getting close to my bracket. And he's been a servant to Moses. He's behind the scenes, wandering in the wilderness. Oh yes, he led the Israelite army as he came out of Egypt for a short period of time. But most of the time he wandered in the wilderness listening to a large group of people grumble, complain, and get mad at God. And in verse 2, God says to Joshua, "My servant Moses is dead." I don't think that was fresh news to Joshua, because he just finished a 30-day funeral. But what God is saying to Joshua, he says, "Now I'm going to bring you center stage. I'm going to bring you into the position that I created you for. This is your hour." I think that's possibly a prophetic word for some of you in here. In this coming year, God is saying, "I'm going to bring you center stage. I'm going to bring you into the position that I have ordained for you." That's not for everybody. But there is a characteristic of Joshua as for each and every one of us. The next 20 years of Joshua's life will be in battles, fighting, contending, and dealing with difficult situations. But the beauty of this man is he never gave up. I think it's a great picture of divine determination. You take Joshua chapter 1 and you summarize it, and God is saying to Joshua, "I want to tell you, your next 20 years are going to be incredible. But they're also going to be a mixture of two things, battles and blessings." And unless there's a foundation of divine determination settling deep within you, you're not going to make it. Your life will not have impact. And some of you are there. This coming year, what lies ahead of you is battles and blessings. And for you to move into the blessings of God, there has to settle deep within you a divine determination that only the Lord can give you. I want to read some of this chapter. I'm not going to read it all because we don't have time. But I'll pick up on verse 2. It says, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, the land which I'm giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses." And it outlines the territory of the promised land. In verse 5, "No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and good courage. For to this people you shall divide an inheritance, the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe and do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or the left hand, that you may prosper whenever you go." Down to verse 9, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. In verse 8 there, it says that the word of God may not depart from your mouth. May you talk about it. May you meditate on it day and night. May you think about it. May you do all that is written in it, obey its commands, and act on it. There are three things, but I'm not calling your attention to those three things. I want to call your attention to the three things that God repeated over, over, and over. He said, be strong and courageous. Be strong and very courageous. Be strong and courageous. You cannot be strong and courageous in life unless there is a divine determination settling deep within you. Because without it, your commitments will crumble. And when the heat's on, they'll melt away. Marriages will fall apart. Families will disintegrate. And people's lives will ring hollow. God is saying to Joshua, I want you to get a focus. This is so important. I want you to take aim. I want you to get a focus on what I called you to. I want you to have a focus on that. That is so vital to the church, that we get a focus on what God's called us to. He'll take you on a journey. He'll get you there. I'll illustrate it. I was at a pastor's workshop down in Oregon, senior pastors only. And the man gave the presentation on men's ministry. When he finished, he opened it up for questions. And as I listened, I could hear that most of the pastors were really struggling with this men's ministry. So I stood up and asked a question. I said, I would like to have all the senior pastors in this room that have been called of God to men's ministry, please stand up. Not one stood, not even the one that gave the presentation. He said, brother, you have set me free. I am not called to this. I said, you need to go home and pray for God to raise up a man for men's ministry, a woman for women's ministry. Like we have here, Mike that leads the women's, Marianne that leads the ladies' Bible study, and Gina that puts the women's ministries together. That's so crucial. There was a survey in America. They asked the people, what's your goal in life? What do you want to be? At the conclusion, they conclude only about 4 or 5% of the people in America have clear goals that they can sit down and write them out on paper. Over the years, in talking, working with people, I have come to realize that's not true. We all have clear goals, God-given goals in here. Well, what do you mean? Well, where we get confused in talking with people and listening to their situation, their problem, you can ask a question sometimes. What would you be and what would you do if you could be and do anything you wanted? Well, I can't. No, throw the can'ts away. What would you be and what would you do? Well, this is what I would be. You see, they have clear goals. They have God-given goals down inside. But they've been buried under false concepts about life. Cave-ins, they come in and bury these goals. Because we live in such a consumer society that it's easy to slip under these false concepts about life that literally bury us and make it very difficult to have a focus on the God-given goals that have a divine determination about them. Well, what are you talking about? Well, over the years, I'm going to give you the three most common ones that I've heard. Here we go. These are goals that'll be buried, that are very difficult to have a focus where divine determination sets in. Number one, if God is involved in something, there's no problems. If you believe that, you're a graduate of Consumer Christianity 101. Because it is not true. If God is involved in something, everything is nice and just full. When I'm walking in relationship to Christ, led by the Holy Spirit, and in the will of God, everything's just smooth. Well, if you fall under that concept, you've only got two options. Number one, get mad at God. And there's a whole lot of people in the body of Christ over the years in America that have gotten mad at God. Because they took on a ministry, they did something in the church, and somebody said something that offended them, or it wasn't like they thought it was going to be. Jesus said to his disciples, you're going to leave me too? Everybody else says, you want to go too? Because it wasn't like they thought. I'm going to give an illustration. I'm going to come back to the Word of God. When I had men's ministry, we had four-man teams with one leader. We had leadership training every month. This particular month, I came in, and the men were all in a big circle, about 32 leaders, very quiet. I thought, boy, something's wrong. Guy raised his hand. He says, I need to speak on behalf of the group here. We just can't cut it. We're not qualified. We're just at a dead end. I said, well, what do you mean? He says, well, we set up four chairs, have the snacks ready, and one man shows up. I said, well, has there ever been two or three? Well, yeah, but that's not the norm. I want to hold that picture right there. A defeatist attitude is so prevalent in the body of Christ. You see, God is saying to Joshua right here in the Word of God, he said, hey, Joshua, I know you so well. I know the human being. I know how you think. I know your weaknesses. And I want to tell you, when you cross that Jordan and there's no way back, and you look what's ahead, and you're going to see giants 8 and 9 feet tall, and they're going to be in the hill country, and that terrain makes it very, very difficult to fight in, let alone with giants. And then you're going to come to fortified cities, and the walls of Jericho are so high, you're going to look up and say, man, all we got is bows and arrows and spears. We don't have the weaponry. We're not qualified. How are we going to pull this off? He says, I understand that, Joshua. That's why I'm emphasizing so strongly, be strong and courageous. I'll never leave you or forsake you. Listen to me carefully. The strength of the Lord is not at the outset of the problem. It's not even at the beginning of the problem. The strength of the Lord comes in the middle of the problem, in the middle of the battle, to where I exhaust all my human resources, my abilities, my intellect, everything I have. Because the Bible says you can't please God without faith. Faith doesn't kick in till you've exhausted all your human resources. And so many, I've watched it over all the years, so many cut and run because they exhausted all their own self talents and giftedness. And they were just ready to experience the power of the Holy Spirit. And they cut and run. My son was up here, several weeks back. And he said, in harmonizing the Gospels, he said, I came to the place, it was a dead end street. I couldn't finish it. And I cried out to the Lord, open my eyes that I can see, because I can't see. And it was there, right in the midst of that battle, that God opened his eyes. When I started this church in this wrecking yard, let me tell you, that was no piece of cake. Boy, I was on my face several times saying, Lord, get another one. I was like Moses at the burning bush. I'm not qualified. Get a good preacher. Get somebody who can do this. And then God steps in and does it when you have that divine determination settles in. And once that divine determination settles in, it's an act of God. God enables you. I come back to that group of guys. I said, tonight we're at the crossroads. You've exhausted all your resources. That's what God is waiting for. He's ready to move. Now you will decide whether he's going to move or not. You can cut and run. You can bag it. Forget it. Or you can make a decision and just get on your face and cry out to God to open your eyes to enable you to reach men for Christ. Do you know not one man left? And that group soared. And we led so many men to Christ and broke so many walls and barriers. I don't care whether you're in junior high, senior high, teenager, married or single. There's going to be problems when you serve God. It's going to be tough. It's going to be difficult. But in the midst of that battle, you cry out to God, and I guarantee you, he'll be there. If you hang in there, he'll be there. Number two, this is one that really buries God-given goals, makes it almost impossible to have a focus on the goals where there's a divine determination can settle in. We really take the bait. Success comes suddenly through the big things It's kind of like a divine lotto in life, you know? God's big number came up. I'm looking for the big break. Well, when you do that, you'll probably be waiting for a good marriage. You'll wait for a good career. You'll keep waiting rather than taking hell's gate down one bolt at a time. You don't come up and just push the gate open. There is a force. There is a force against me every day of my life to share Christ and stand up for him. Jesus said, disciples, well, I know who they said I was. Who do you say I am? Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said to Peter, Peter, upon this rock, not Peter, but upon his confession, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail. You take that gate down, you dismantle it one bolt at a time. You see, battles are won a little bit at a time. And that's why in parenting, you don't do your child any good when you say to your child, you can do it. No problem, you can do it. Tell them the truth. It's going to be tough out there. You're going to fail. Mom, I want to tell you something. Dad will be there for you. Son Bruce, I'll be here for you. To my last breath. My daughter Vicki, I'll be here for you. I'll never leave you. And my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren, I pray for you every day. If I can do that in the flesh, think what he can do when he says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. There's not a victory he can't win for you. If you lean on him, he enables you. Number three, this is one we really take the bait on. I really did. Makes it almost impossible to have a focus on a goal that has a divine determination about it. Oh, we don't say it out loud. I never did. But we feel it. I feel like a whole lot of people have it a lot easier than me. I feel like my situation is particularly difficult. And let me tell you, when this guy was in this wrecking yard starting this church, with not a whole lot of training on how to be a pastor, I thought that many days. And the Lord has a way. He got me down to Children's Hospital in Seattle as a pastor. You go into the restroom and there's the father crying because his son's dying. And you'll see mothers in the hallways comforting one another because things don't look good. And there was a teenage girl over in Anacortes, 17, scholastically top of the class, great athlete. In our youth, she was a born leader, got cancer, wound up with Virginia Mason. I'd go down to encourage and pray for her, and I would come out more encouraged and more blessed than I ever delivered to her. And I know Pastor Nick knows what I'm talking about. He's been to a whole lot more than I have, and I've been to a lot. She passed away. They had the graduation there before she did. Funeral was held right here in this church. A lot of doctors and nurses came from Virginia Mason because her life had such an impact in that short time. Her mother shared at the funeral. She says, in the last moments, I was holding my daughter. She says, Mom, I love you. God loves you. And don't blame God for this. He had nothing to do with it. He loves me so much, he's going to come take me home now. And she went home. I met Dave Rover. Personally, he was a soldier that the phosphorus grenade went off in his hand. He jumped in the water, but you know phosphorus burns underwater. He wound up in the Crispy Critter Ward. And in the Crispy Critter Ward, nobody comes out. Nobody. But he did, because he had a wife that stood beside him, didn't care how he looked. He had divine determination. Took a lot of surgeries and all, boy. But he's spoken all over America. Schools and everywhere. He was up at Viewcrest, assembly way back, and there was a guy working for me, part-time in construction. He's an atheist. I liked him. Nice guy. I said, hey, you want to go up and see hear Dave Rober? He said, sure. So we went up. Dave got done speaking, and he said, now I'm going to play the piano and sing a song to the Lord. No fingers. Just stubs. He sat down at that piano, and it's not like Ramon was playing or calling. It just came alive. And then he sang the song. Oh, the Spirit of the Lord came in that building. And my friend went home, a born-again believer. He left the Aces costume right on the floor. I have discovered something. We all have the same advantage in Christ. Oh, I'm sure Joshua didn't struggle with American Miss, but I know one thing. He struggled when he stepped into the shoes of Moses and looked across that Jordan River, what lay ahead of him. As I've studied and tried to put myself in his shoes, wow, I can't even imagine it. Now, some of you this coming year, you're going to step into the shoes. They're going to be very difficult. Because there's going to be battles and blessings, and you're going to face some tough battles. And you're going to be on your knees praying for divine determination, because that's the only way that God enables and you'll make it. But you're going to have a funeral. You're going to have to bury some precepts about the past. Number one, trying to win the approval of people. Some of you are way past any sense of intelligence of trying to win the approval of certain people or some. It's a dead issue. Bury it. Move on with God. You win his approval, he'll take care of them. Amen. Yeah. Number two, oh boy, this was a tough one for me. Don't compare yourself to others. You got to bury that. Man, I would compare myself to others and think, I think everybody in the country's got more talent and giftedness than I do. I felt like Moses at the burning bush. You've got the wrong guy. You got to bury it. God has called you. You're his man. You're his woman. Nobody else will fit that position. If you don't, it'll be empty. He'll never leave you or forsake you. As you approach 2019, it's going to require a lot more prayer time. It's going to require divine determination or you won't make it. Because 2019 has got some tremendous oppositions. But if you put your faith in Christ and you get full of the Holy Spirit and you come up into those battles with the Word of God, you will persevere and you'll press on and you won't quit because the Holy Spirit has given you divine determination. And when you finish that finish line, you'll hear a small voice. Well done, good and faithful servant. You allowed me to work in and through you. You were red hot. You weren't lukewarm like in Revelation. I spewed them out of my mouth because they would not let me work in and through them. They only filled positions and used their own giftedness, not mine. God bless you in 2019. May the Lord shine on you. May you be bright. And may this church accomplish great things in his name. Amen.
Well, thanks for listening in. Why don't you join us on a Sunday morning? If you'd like more information about the church, just point your browser to hisplacechurch.com. Until next time, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and make his face shine upon you.